Hey there, Omaha. Welcome into another episode of Restaurant Hoppin'. I've got a fantastic guest for you today, but real quick, before we get to them, I have to tell you about Certified Piedmontese, because this is a brand I am so excited about. In fact, I will never forget the first time I had Certified Piedmontese. The crown jewel of my initial visit to Casa Bovina was a beautiful rib cap that was so lean and tender, it was almost silky in texture. The moment that beef hit my taste buds, I was hooked. These animals are raised all natural on a network of family ranches across the Midwest, so Certified Piedmontese is able to cut out the middleman and buy directly from the source. And while I highly encourage you to check out Casa Bovina, you can savor this beef at home, too. Whether you order off Piedmontese.com or by calling 1-800-414-3487, your purchase will be shipped directly to your front door. Plus, when you use my discount code HOPPEN, H-O-P-P-E-N, you get 25% off your order. How can you beat that? So what are you waiting for? Get some steaks, burgers, bacon, or other meats and experience the Certified Piedmontese difference for yourself today. And now to my guest. Hey there, Omaha. Welcome into another episode of Restaurant Hoppin'. I'm your host, Dan Hoppin', and obviously I'm someone who likes to spend a good amount of time in restaurants. But sometimes after a long day, you just don't want to go out, or the weather is crappy, or you know, you just have obligations at home and you don't have time to go out to eat. For a hopeless cook like myself, this would usually mean settling for a subpar meal or just grabbing some stuff in the fridge and throwing it together. But that is why Mealbox is like the superhero for average cooks like myself. Because when you come home after a long day and you know that you can just pop a Mealbox meal, in the microwave, 3 minutes later, you've got a restaurant-quality dish in front of you. That is incredible. And today, I've got the geniuses behind Mealbox joining us for this live podcast. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So because we've got multiple voices and personalities here, I'd love for each of you to introduce yourselves and just give me 10, 15 seconds on your role in the company.
Okay, I'll start. I'm Rachel Burge, and I am co-owner of the business along with my husband here. So I pretty much run everything outside of the kitchen, and he runs everything in the kitchen. So lots of logistics, a lot of hats to wear, but we make a good team.
Including a great hat you're wearing right now.
Thank you. You both
have great hats on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all swagged out today.
You guys are. There is no doubt who you are representing. I love it.
Yep. I'm Will. I'm a co-owner as well. I run the kitchen, sort of. Matt as well, you know, kind of runs the kitchen as well. But I do all the menu writing, all the food costing, all the menu planning, executing and making sure that the food is of high quality.
And my name is Matt Widger. I am the executive sous chef at Mealbox, and I just try to make sure everything day-to-day runs the way that Will wants it to and make sure everybody stays on tasks and just gets it all done. We got a lot of work to do.
Beautiful. So if anybody is here live tasting the food and is just like, man, I would love to just get some of these in my refrigerator and have them at any time. Or if you're listening or watching the episode and at any point are tempted, these guys release a new menu every week. Visit mealboxomaha.com to see that menu. You can also follow Mealbox Omaha on Instagram or Mealbox by Chef Will Burge on Facebook. They do a great job each week of telling you what's going to be on that menu, when you can order, and just what you can expect. So if we have anyone who is watching or listening or they're in the crowd for the first time and they haven't heard of Mealbox, how would you describe it to somebody for the first time?
You know, we try to make, restaurant quality meals using as locally sourced as possible ingredients. Shout out to Long Walk over there. We basically write our menus in the spring, summer, fall based on what's available locally, and we put a lot of science behind it to make sure that when you microwave that meal for 2.5 minutes, it comes out and tastes like a restaurant quality meal.
So it's all about convenience and variety, high quality. We're really lucky today to have Long Walk Farms here, as Will mentioned. They're one of our biggest supplier producers out of Council Bluffs. And we have a great relationship with them. They give us lots of goodies that we make all of our scratch items with. And really it's just about delivering convenience so folks can pop it in the microwave, put it in the oven, you know, just have things that are ready to go on hand. A lot of times, we're just all busy and don't have time to cook, don't have time to shop. And so having those meals on hand really helps out. In fact, a lot of our customers love cooking. They just don't have time. So it really appeals to a wide audience of folks that just appreciate their time and appreciate good quality food.
Now, Will, you mentioned the science behind Mealbox.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced that this is science. There's still about half of me that thinks what you guys do is like just downright wizardry.
Yeah.
Because you take things that for most of my life I've been taught, do not put that in a microwave. Steak, sausages, burnt ends, fish.
Salmon.
Yeah, fish is like the number one office faux pas. You don't put fish in the microwave. Everyone will hate you. These are things like somehow when we get a meal box and we have any of these proteins in there, we heat it up, somehow it not only survives, but it gets better. Can you try and explain some of the science behind that? How does that work?
So number one is sourcing the freshest possible, like we'll stick with fish, sourcing the freshest possible fish we could find. We work with a lot of our purveyors to make sure that, food reps, for instance, they come into the kitchen and try to sell products, right? They know not to come in the meal box and try to sell products because we have such high standards that they know better. We make sure everything's super fresh to start so that that product is at its peak, and then we precision cook it to a certain temperature, and when that's reflected in a microwave, obviously we build our base around that protein so that it can steam in the microwave and essentially come out to be perfect, so. A lot of thought goes into each dish and what pairs with what to make sure that it heats up correctly. The water content, the fat, so on and so forth. So
how do you determine that temperature that you look? So like for a reference point, and again, these aren't real numbers. I'm just throwing it out there. Yeah. But if you wanted to serve a steak at 150 degrees, like that's the internal temperature when it gets served, you would cook it to 130 degrees or whatever it is, and then the microwave does the rest. So when I eat it after I microwave it, it's at that ideal temperature like it was coming off the grill at that point.
Right.
How do you find that, though?
I don't know how to explain it. It's kind of common sense for us now at this point, right?
We've been doing a lot of trial and error over the years.
Yeah, we've been doing it for so long that we just kind of understand what we're doing. I don't think that in a hot cooking environment, say a medium rare steak is 130 degrees. We would cook a tenderloin to 115 degrees and then, precision cook that to 115 degrees, pull it out, sear it, get our crust, put it in the meal box after it cooled. And when that microwave hits it for that 2.5-3 minutes, it's going to be a perfect medium rare. That's why we wrote the instructions the way they are, just to make sure that the customer is experiencing the best quality product. Over the years, just the experience of doing it, so... Yeah.
And then, Matt, can you speak to the accompaniments that go along with that protein? So what starches, what vegetables, maybe not sauces so much because those don't get microwaved with the meal. Those are on the side. But the accompaniments, how do they enhance that meat as well? And how do they affect the tenderness, the flavor, everything?
Well, like Will was saying, when we build the dishes, we're thinking of all the flavors in mind that are going to play and how those are going to heat up and the vapor, the moisture when you heat it up in the microwave. So also like with the temperatures of steaks, like you're cooking all your pasta to like al dente or just below al dente to kind of, because then when it gets microwaved, it's going to carry over that last little bit and it's going to be perfect every time. And just Will, he's the idea man. He's got all the good ones. And he brings us these menus with a variety of different ingredients, and just he knows how to play with the flavors to where everything is balanced and everything just incorporates into one another, and just it's a synergy is the word
cohesive,
I would use.
Yeah.
Has Will ever brought you an idea where you're just like, no, there's no way that's not going to work?
Vegan hot dogs.
Vegan hot dogs.
Yeah, vegan hot dogs.
Did you make it happen?
Oh, we didn't, no. We just don't sell enough vegan food to make it justifiable, but yeah.
We've tried.
We were going to do a vegan pastrami dog at one point, and it just didn't happen, but yeah. Yeah, that was a cool idea.
It's a cool idea, yeah.
Did you make it work and you just decided not to put it on the menu?
No, we never touched it. It was on the menu, and then we kind of just retracted it and moved on to something else. But yeah, it was a cool idea. Just never happened.
And that's one thing that I love about working here, because I come from like a lot of bar background, just, you know, flipping burgers on a grill. But here I get to work with stuff I've never seen before. I get to learn new techniques, learn all about cooking. Will's a great teacher and has a lot of knowledge to share, and I've learned a lot in my 3 years here. It's fantastic.
Speaking of those techniques, Will, I know that you're really big into French techniques and French cooking, so that's not all that people are going to find on Mealbox menus, but a lot of that is going to be a little bit more French-driven. Is that just your upbringing, or what attracts you to that style?
Yeah, I just really like refinement. I like the class and the beauty and the real... Yeah, French cooking is essentially... creating something beautiful out of nothing, what people would consider low class ingredients, right? That's what French cooking is. But then you elevate it with higher end cuts of meat and so on and so forth. But taking beef bones and creating a demi-glace or so on and so forth, just the most beautiful thing in the world. And you know, as I evolve as a chef, I've been hounding Rachel about this, but we're going to start moving into cooking with more fire, you know, cooking with wood and kind of elevating our cuisine and really doing a lot of fun things. You know, I love smoking meat. I love complex flavors, and I think we can really achieve that with like an open flame, and that's what we're kind of moving towards, instead of just gas, you know, gas grills and gas ranges and so on and so forth. I'm actually working with a blacksmith to build this Argentinian Santa Maria grill that lowers and hires and so on and so forth. So we played around with it last week and did some Peruvian chicken, and it was so cool. And it just has me like mesmerized, and I'm really excited to get that going this spring, summer. So
tease us with some dishes. Like, what are you excited to throw on there?
Just about everything. You know, I just want to create a different flavor profile with that natural charcoal smoky resinous flavor, you know, that you can only achieve over an open fire, where, you know, I think our food's delicious, and we have a lot of fun, you know. It's just something new and inspiring, because I think as you do this for so long, you just kind of get not burnt out, but just kind of like it's the same old, you know. You can only do so much, so this is kind of a...
You want a new toy to play
yeah,
with,
yeah, this is a little
honest.
More inspiration for the staff, for me, and so on and so forth, you know, just to really elevate and get outside of our comfort zone, you know, having to start a fire in the morning and keep that fire going throughout the whole entire day. Cause we're cooking from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day of the week, you know, and, it's another challenge and it makes it harder, but I don't know.
It adds a level of excitement and
it adds a little level of excitement. The challenge, it really brings out the best of us, you know, as a team. So I'm excited, you know, master that.
Matt, I want to get back to just the wonder of being able to throw one of these in the microwave and pull it out a couple minutes later and having it taste like this. You mentioned you've been with Mealbox somewhere between 2.5 and 3 years. We're not exactly sure which, but doesn't matter.
Yeah, long enough.
I mean, do you remember when you first came on Mealbox, like learning these techniques and maybe even eating one of them for the first time? Was it just like, whoa, what is this? How?
I didn't know you could put that in a box and make it taste that good out of a microwave.
Right?
I did not understand that that was possible.
It doesn't make sense.
And it's, like I said before, I came from, you know, a traditional just working in the kitchen over a grill, and then moving to this, just learning all those, just how to play with the food in a way where it's not just, I would use the term like plug and play, because it's like, yep, throw the grill on the flat top, flip it, blah, blah. But this, there's so much more intricacy to what we do, and you have to really pay attention to what you do and really take the time and put the love and care into it so that, and it's not just about the food tasting great, it's also about the presentation as well. We spend a lot of time on making sure that when you open that box, it looks delectable as well. And that's, for me, just being able to be a part of this and learn so much, it's absolutely fascinating, and I love working here.
I love that you brought up presentation, and I'm gonna bring us back to that, because that's something I definitely want to talk about. But Rachel, I want to get your opinion as well, because you're kind of the forward-facing social media marketing. I mean, you do a lot of the selling of Mealbox. What is it like trying to break down that barrier in people's minds that, yes, you can have a great meal? Like, even as I'm saying it right now, I almost like don't believe it. Almost surprises me every time I have a Mealbox, because I'm just like, how is this so good? Like, how do you break down that barrier in people's minds?
Yeah, so, you know, we hear a lot of folks who are like, oh, you just do meal prep. Well, you know, we do prepared meals, but, you know, it's kind of educating folks that it's more of an elevated experience. We're 100% scratch made. You know, it's chef crafted. It's well thought out. It's locally sourced, all fresh, you know, and so it's kind of redefining elevated meal prep, essentially. And so it's kind of getting folks around that mindset of just boring chicken and rice, which is what a lot of people think when they hear meal prep. So it's an education process, and we get lots of inquiries and questions. And so I've talked to people night and day across the board of people that are interested or hear about us from other folks. And so it's really just trying to get people to try it and taste it. And then I think that the food speaks for itself once it gets in front of you. And yeah.
Yeah, for people who are not lucky enough to be here right now, the crowd is feasting on Cubano sandwiches and burn end sausage links that are just divine. So everyone in this room is convinced. You've got them hooked. There's no worries about that. What was the most challenging dish that you guys have put together? Like, what was one that you had to kind of massage and work on a little bit, or, you know, it took some time?
Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. What? It's the one that gets, oh. For me, it's the muffuletta.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because we were talking about with sandwiches, because that's hard to because get the bread.
And it's still not right. It's still not right. But it's such, I'm not a baker. There's three breads that I know how to make, and focaccia is one of them, right? And I'm really good at it. But we do like a sesame crusted focaccia, mortadella, smoked ham, salami, put it all together, a nice olive salad. It's just so darn big. Yeah. It's so darn big. It doesn't fit in anything.
Yeah.
And then you have to smash it. And as it sits, you know, the bread absorbs all the juices and sogs up a little bit. You know, it's there's just certain foods that I would love to sell. I'd love to sell. And that's the difficulty of what we do, is just like there's some things we just can't touch. You know, we can't do, you know. You follow me on personally. You know, I play with pizza all the time.
Yeah,
know?
You crush me.
But I can't sell pizza. You know, I can't sell it.
This dude, he posts sandwiches and pizza and mm-hmm. all this stuff on his personal page. And then I'm like, oh, when's that coming to a meal box? And he's like, never.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. Thanks. Now I'm really hungry.
You just can't do it. You know, it doesn't come out the way, you know, my expectations are high and it just doesn't come out the way I want it to. So
just for catering.
Yeah. You know, we can do it for catering for sure. But, yeah, it's a frustrating part about it. You know, we have to live by a certain, code and a certain way of doing things. But I would say for me, the muffuletta is the
it's
a tough one.
It is a painful one.
Yeah.
What are some challenging dishes that you've made work, like ones where you came in and you were like, man, I don't know if we're going to be able to pull this off, or even if you thought it was going to be relatively simple and ended up being more difficult? Can you think of any?
There was the Big Jack Stack at one point.
Yep.
That was just a random, how do I make a Big Mac healthier, right?
Good luck.
Yeah, no, it was just kind of a weird concoction. We did like a...
That was an island. Like
a secret sauce, yeah. Bechamel, you know, and built this healthy casserole. But it turned out... It was really
good.
Top 10 for me.
Oh, really?
It was really good, yeah. And it was just kind of a weird thought, a weird way of doing it, but stepping out of that comfort zone and just creating something really, really rad.
That's kind of part of that too, is taking an idea you have, like, I'd love to do this in a meal box, but then circumventing the traditional way to do it and finding another way to do it to where it will work in the box. Like we were talking earlier about the Cubano, like the casserole.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic casserole. But
just trying to make it a smidge healthier, you know? That's another thing we're kind of passionate about, is just trying to bring all the flavors, bring all the techniques, but just trying to keep it a little bit healthier, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't feel as guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Something I want to be very clear about, I should have highlighted this more off the top, is a lot of people, when they think of like a meal kit delivery service, they're thinking of like a HelloFresh, a Blue Apron, you know, there's bunches of those where they will send you all the ingredients, they send you instructions, and then you do the chopping, you do the cooking yourself. That's not Mealbox. You literally, you place an order, these guys bring it to your doorstep at a specific time, they tell you when it's going to be delivered, they text you, hey, it's here. You go pick it up, and then you put it in your refrigerator, and whenever you want it, you stick it in the microwave for 2.5 minutes, pull it out, and bam, it's good to go. Like, it could not be easier.
Yeah.
It's really fantastic.
So something super cool, too. So we start cooking on Wednesday. We start our sauce making, our butchery, and so on and so forth on Wednesday. That all has to be done by Saturday. We're doing 1,500 to 2,500 meals a week.
Sheesh.
So We do a lot of overnight braising, a lot of overnight cooking. Our kitchen works 24 hours, but I'm still amazed. I think it's pretty incredible that we can knock the volume we have out in a matter of 3 days. Saturday is only boxing, so it's ready by Sunday. So, I mean, it's like it blows my mind. I mean, my team is just incredible. I have such a great team. I'm really, really blessed to have such a awesome wife to put it all together. She does all the routing. We have great delivery drivers. Just really, really lucky.
What's the size of the team?
Well, we're up to about 20 something delivery drivers and then five kitchen crew.
Five kitchen crew,
yep.
3 days, 2,500 meals.
Yep. Yep.
I was impressed with you guys before.
Yeah, no, it's pretty, pretty awesome.
And I should also highlight, you mentioned it a little bit offhand, but you guys also do catering.
Yep.
And I was told before the podcast, I didn't even know, but you'll do like plated dinners as well. So like someone can hire you to come in and do like a 5-course meal too.
If there's time. Yeah. I mean, I turn a lot of them down now just because I don't have the time, but yeah, we used to do a lot of them. Yeah. I mean, cooking is, I have a romance with it. It's just a romantic thing to me. It's my love language. It's what I love to do. It just takes me away from everything. And, I'll cook for anybody anywhere, you know, it's just a matter of time, you know.
Hey there, listeners. We'll get back to my guest in a minute, but I got to remind you one more time about Certified Piedmontese. If there's anyone I trust to know more about food than me, it's chefs. These people have dedicated their lives to learning about food, and they'll only serve the best of the best in their restaurants. So when you see Certified Piedmontese beef on restaurant menus from Oregon to Hawaii to Florida and everywhere in between, you can rest assured this is a fantastic product. And while I love eating Certified Piedmontese products in restaurants, it tastes great on your table too. Place an order at CertifiedPiedmontese.com and use my promo code HOPPEN, H-O-P-P-E-N, to save 25%. You'll see why restaurants all over America are proud to put the Certified Piedmontese stamp on their menus. And now, back to my guest. All right, let's get into the inspiration for the menu, because every Wednesday you guys release a new menu. I mean, I wait for it on social media, and then bam, there it is. There's 10 new meal boxes, 5 normal ones and 5 lean boxes, yeah. Which feature, you mentioned, they're all pretty healthy, but yeah. These are even healthier. Plus there's like versions of overnight oats. Sometimes there'll be salads and stuff. And you've obviously had repeat dishes. You've had favorites that have come back and things like that. But that's a lot of dish creation over the year. Do you have any idea how many recipes you put out for Mealbox over the years?
Over 1,000 for sure. Thousands.
Yeah, I would say probably 2,500.
I mean, in the course of 6 years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, well, now I'm no longer impressed. Thousands over the course of 6 years is not. No, that's
sure,
amazing.
You know, I'd say 500 or so, or probably more in a repeat circulation.
Yeah. I think this kind of goes hand in hand with Matt, but like the formula, if you just have your mother sauces down, your techniques down, it's not that difficult to do something new, you know? And as long as you have that foundation, we can do just about everything. Everything kind of coincides with each other, you know?
Yeah. And that's also the beauty of, you know, working there, is that I'm not making the same thing every day ever. Like maybe 6 months down the road, we might do it again, but every single week it's a whole new menu, all new great food. Sometimes we get some strange stuff in, like what can we do with this? And so we just have a lot of fun with just the making of the food itself. And it's fantastic.
So how do you come up with the menu each week? What inspires you, in addition to fresh produce, like you just mentioned, Matt?
You know, it was. I got to share a story.
Yeah, go for it.
Other day, so we made a really fantastic broccoli puree a couple weeks ago, and we were tasting it. It was really good, you know. Javier, who's been with me for darn near 4 years now, right? He tasted it. He goes, "Oh, guacamole, you know?" And I go, "Holy crap." And it clicked in my head. I'm like, we can make broccamole, right? It's not going to turn brown, right? It's not going to go bad in a box. So we turned this broccoli puree into guacamole, and it was absolutely fantastic, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of, I don't know. It's just kind of, One, it's kind of based on what's available, what's being locally produced, especially in the spring, summer, and fall. But I don't know. I think a lot of the times it's just kind of going into it with a empty stomach, you know, what sounds good, and kind of just sitting back. I think when I'm at home, I sit in my rocking chair and I get my phone out and I, you know, just sit in a corner and start.
He does do a lot of research, you know, and follows a lot of great chefs out there. And
yeah.
you know, and sometimes he'll wake up at 3 a.m. and kind of jot down a recipe that comes to mind. Yeah. So things just seem to appear to him.
Yeah. I also have this weird condition. I don't know. You know what it's called, right?
Synesthesia.
Yeah. So, like when I see a color, I taste a certain thing. It's just a weird like brain condition.
Whoa.
Yeah. So like, we were laying in bed one night, you know, and I was like, Rachel, all I can taste is like jalapeno and watermelon in my mouth. And it's like, there's nothing there. We're not eating anything. I just taste it. It's like something that correlates with my mouth and my brain, you know, and like, pairings and so on and so forth. It's a weird deal, but like, it's just, you know, when you really dive into, what you love and what you're passionate about, I think it just kind of, just becomes who you are, you know? And I love to, you know, share that with my team. So.
Another thing that I find amazing about each week's menu is I'm never looking at the menu and it's like, oh, there's four chicken dishes on here this week, or there's six dishes that have mashed potatoes. Gee, I wonder what was inspiring the team that week. Or, oh man, this menu is just a lot of Asian flavors. We're seeing a lot of gochujang and soy sauce. No, it's different proteins, different starches, different vegetables, different flavor profiles, different cuisines that you're pulling from. How intentional is that, trying to balance the menu and really offer just something unique in every dish?
It's very intentional. Sometimes, you know, she puts me in check. She'll go, hey, there's not enough chicken on this dish or on this menu, and I'll have to adjust it. But yeah, we're trying to offer a variety so that people from all walks of life and preferences and so on and so forth can really enjoy our menus. Trying to be a big rainbow of different cuisines and. You know, I'm not a master of any cuisine per se, but I know what my expectations are. So, like, if a lot of times I'll recreate a dish based off what I've tasted, right? So, if I go to like a really great Indian restaurant and I really enjoy the food, I can pick out, you know, all those spices and recreate it in my head, and then. Not copy per se, but you know, just know kind of the foundation. I've obviously never been to India, but I can cook Indian food, you know, and I it's all based off of flavor memory, you know, and yeah, we just try to. I'm kind of veering off into the south, but yeah, we try to offer a little bit of everything for everybody, so.
Yeah, just mass appeal to a wide audience. We have a lot of different folks that order, a lot of busy individuals, families, folks of all ages. We have lots of kids that love our meals. We've got, you know, just trying to offer that wide variety and then appeal to dietary preferences as well that folks have.
All right, I want to tease some taste buds here. I would love for each of you to hit me with one or two of your favorite meal boxes, just like when they come on the menu, you're excited to eat it. And then also hit me with some of the fan favorites, like the ones, you know, when you put that on the menu, it's going to pop off.
Well, for me, fan favorite and one of my favorites, anytime I see lasagna, I get real excited. I love our lasagna. It is amazing. And then, oh, anything with Omaha sauce.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. The Omaha sauce is Mealbox's take on barbecue sauce. People who are here live experienced it tonight. Did you bottle that? Somehow. Farmer's Market, Hy-Vee,
so
whatever
told.
It is. Yes. Yeah. I'm sure I'm not the first to suggest that. But
yeah, we wanted to actually make a so you've been to my kitchen. We have spices everywhere. I did want to do like a spice blend of Omaha sauce and then do the actual sauce as well. But, you know, try to figure out the formula is going to.
All in due time.
Yeah,
all
in due time.
Okay, so lasagna is a money. That's a hit.
Always great.
Always great.
And then second one, I mean, we have it on the menu this week. It's one of my top five, the Reuben Mm. Love it.
Yeah.
Corned beef, hash.
But it's like a Reuben casserole, right? It's not the sandwich. Or is it a sandwich?
This one is it's a hash with rye bread mixed into
there you
the
go.
Hash.
Yeah.
Yep. And then your corned beef, your Swiss cheese, your sauerkraut. It's a really good one.
It's a winner. I'd say me, probably the Kona pork. It's my favorite. You know, we take pork butts, we rub them down with a Hawaiian coffee ground spice blend, basically like a five spice coffee spice blend we make in house. Just totally crust it, roast it in the oven, get a really hard crust on it, and then as we're braising it, we kind of loosen up a little bit of hoisin and glaze it, you know, and then shred it. Fresh Hawaiian noodles, carrots, cabbage for texture, some snap peas for a little bit more texture, and then we do like a pineapple mango salsa with it. Not traditional salsa. We add some sweet chili into it, so it gives a little bit of heat, a little more sweetness. But man, the balance, sweet, salty, a little bit of bitterness from the coffee. The noodles are just super eggy, you know, just really good. It's a top five dish for me. Fan favorite and another personal favorite, meatloaf.
The grilled meatloaf.
Yeah, it's just really good. And you can spin it a million different ways. Like last week, or was it last week?
Yeah, last week.
Last week we smoked off briskets and then cut them into burnt ends, did burnt ends. And then we took the meatloaf mix and took these big chunks of brisket, big chunks of cheddar cheese, pickled jalapenos, put it in our big mixer, mixed it all up, wrapped it in some caul fat, roasted it, let it sit, and then slice it. And as you look at the side piece, it's got these big chunks of brisket and cheddar and jalapeno. It's like a giant sausage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you can do a lot of fun stuff with that. But just the regular old grilled meatloaf, you know, reminds me of my mom. My mom used to make meatloaf all the time, and it was my favorite. You know, we'd take the leftover meatloaf and make sandwiches, and it's just a good childhood memory for me. You know, one of my favorite things. And I'm blessed that, you know, our customers like it too. So, yeah.
What do you got, Rachel?
So, you know, for my favorites, anytime I see enchiladas on the menu, it's a total winner. So he does a wide variety of different enchiladas. Also, I love the Buddha Box, which has grilled chicken, quinoa blend, edamame, sweet potatoes, and then it's got a creamy Dijon aioli sauce on the side, which is, I just love the signature sauces on the side of all the meals. So it's always a winner. Also, pasta primavera. I really love all the pastas, actually. And overnight oats. Every week it's a different overnight oats flavor, and they're just so delicious. I don't know how you do it, but there's some kind of technique in there. I've tried it at home, but no, it just doesn't compare. And I love that it's got, you know, the chia seeds in there for just packed full of antioxidants, and you know, that you guys make your own yogurt and all that stuff. You know, it's all scratch made. So I love the overnight oats. I look forward to those each week.
And I want to shout out the hot honey salmon burn ends. You had that a couple months ago. Those are fantastic. The 16-hour smoked brisket, which is better than most barbecue restaurants, hands down. And then you put that Omaha sauce on it that we've already mentioned.
Yeah.
And then I love that you brought up the meatloaf, because my family did not have meatloaf growing up. I have no affinity for that dish, no special memories, no love for it. So I never really think much, because, I mean, meatloaf does not sound appealing. So I would never think to order that. But you told me, you were like, when you came out with the banh mi meatloaf, and banh mi sandwiches are some of my favorites, and you were like, this banh mi meatloaf is one of the best things I've ever made. And I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you gave me the push, because that thing was fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, I want to, there's more flavor, cooking, stuff like that that I want to get back to, but I want to make sure that we have time for the origin story here, because 5 years ago, none of you would have imagined you would be sitting here right now.
No.
Like, Will, you are a restaurant cook. Rachel, you were in corporate America, I believe, at that point. Matt, I think you said you were cooking in bars and everything.
Yep.
And yet, here we are. In 2018, Will, you had a freak injury that changed everyone at this table's future. Give me the mailbox backstory.
Yeah, I was working.
Rachel, feel free to interject, because whenever someone smiles and shakes their head, I want to get their perspective, yeah, too.
I was actually a few years out of the restaurant business at that point. Just kind of actually working for my brother as a plumber. I just, you know, when you work in restaurants.
Which is something you had done way back
before
when.
I knew, yeah, what I wanted to do. But yeah, you know, restaurants take the life out of you. You know, it's tough work. And it's something, when I met my wife, I was like, you know, I'm just kind of burnt out. She's like, well, take a break, you know, so on and so forth. So I did. And you know, I didn't think I was going to get back into the kitchen at any point. You know, I was doing really well at what I was doing, and I still cooked at home all the time, you know, and had a lot of fun. One day I ended up stepping. I was barefoot out in my yard, and I stepped on an X-Acto blade, and went up and broke off in my foot. And I called Rachel. She rushed me to the emergency room. We got there, and they sewed it up, and it turned out the blade was still in my foot.
But we didn't find out for 10 whole days.
Yeah, so I got super
infected. So for 10 days, yeah, he's walking around with an X-Acto knife blade in his foot.
Yeah, so ended up getting emergency surgery to get that removed. And at that point, you know, I couldn't go back to work. So I was bored out of my mind. I'm a doer. I like to do things. And I posted on Facebook, is anybody interested in meals delivered to your house? You know, because I had a little, what do you call it?
My vanity chair. Yeah, so he's rolling around in the kitchen on my vanity chair,
yeah,
and with one leg.
And so the first week, 10 people were like, yeah, because they knew I was a good cook, you know. Yeah. And then 10 turned into 20, 20 turned into 50. And then it just kind of grew to the point where I was like, oh, wow, I think I have something here. And we talked about it, and we ended up, like, kind of emergency, like, trying to find a place to cook. And we ended up finding, you know, we found a broker, and the broker found the place in Benson we're at now, which was perfect for what we do. It was just a standalone kitchen. It's kind of in a strange area. You know, we have a salon up front, and then we have our kitchen in the back, and it's like two businesses connected. But it works out really well. We started out with a couple two-door coolers, and as we grew, we pulled money from retirement and kind of bought everything and filled that kitchen up. And then we ended up needing another cooler, and then we were like, hey, we need to buy a walk-in. We bought a walk-in, and then now we have a big 20-foot walk-in, and we're still out of room, you know. Yeah. But it was just an amazing I call it God's gift. It was just kind of like, hey, buddy, stop what you're doing. This is what you're meant to do. And I'm going to put you on your butt, and you're going to have to figure it out the hard way, you know? And that's truly what I believe. It wasn't my idea. It was just given to me. And it's a gift that was given to me. And, all we have to do is nurture it, you know, and take care of it. And that's
God has a way of redirecting us, sometimes, yep, in ways that are very painful in the moment.
Yeah.
But when you can look back with a little bit of hindsight, it's just like, oh, that's the path.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
So it's one thing to be cooking in your home and, you know, making meals for friends and family or whatever. It's a whole nother to be finding a space and pulling funds, you know, from retirement, yeah, and hiring people. And I mean, I can't even imagine all the red tape and, you know, just
it was
like
scary
regulations and everything that you have to go through to get that kitchen up and running to ensure that it's safe and this can be a real business.
Right.
How did you guys come to that decision together that we need to make this leap? Like, yeah, it's fine what we're doing here on the side. Will's cooking meals. This is keeping him entertained while he's in his vanity chair.
Right.
But like, we should make this a real business. Like, we should go for it. What was that conversation like?
Oh man, I mean
it was just apparent the demand was there, that once people tried the food, they were hooked. And it started off with Will doing 5 meals per week, and he wanted to provide high quality, elevated lunches for folks Monday through Friday to have a lunch. And so, you know, again, friends and family and people were like, I love this as lunch. I want it as dinner. And I told my friends and, you know, it just, it really just compounded from there and grew. And we were like, this is just getting out of hand and we really need to, you know, formalize this. And
yeah. I think it was a scary time because, you know, obviously what we were doing was, you know, not legal per se. Right. And, the volume and the demand was just incredible. And I'm not even sure why that or how that happened because there were people that I had no idea who they were messaging me on Facebook. Hey, I heard you doing food, you know? And I was like, yeah. And it just kind of ended up.
I think it was at that point where it was like, okay, we really need to do something because it wasn't just friends and family anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was working full time in the corporate world at that point. And so it was, you know, okay, let's do this and let's figure it out. And then.
Yeah. And then we started, like, the demand was so high. We started getting like U.S. food trucks delivered to our house, you know, and it was at that point we were the first ever in the country to do that. And it was at that point, it was like, okay, this is kind of,
this is getting a little out of hand.
This is kind of crazy, you know? And so, yeah, we ended up, making a jump there and, but you know, you have to be sure that this is your path in order to take that big monetary investment and put it in to what you're doing, you know, and just had to be sure before we took that leap, you know. Obviously at that point we didn't have kids, but we just built a house, you know, and just a lot on the line. So we had to make sure that it was the right move. And
but it ended up being the perfect timing, you know, because in 2020 COVID hit and then everything changed and we were already stabilized as a business at that point and prepared for it. And we did lose some customers at first, for one reason or another, you know, their lifestyle changed, but we grew a lot of our customer base at that point too, for folks that, you know, were home and, wanted to have those convenient meals delivered or their lifestyles changed. So it really did, end up growing our business a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it got us a little more exposure than, we would have had otherwise, but yeah.
And then that's when I joined full time and we, you know, started a family. And
now I want to talk about that because, yes, this is a food podcast. So we're mainly going to talk about the magic of making this stuff come out of the microwave and the inspiration behind the dishes and all this stuff. I want to give you a shout out, Rachel, because you've got a master's in business. You've got over a dozen years of professional business experience. And as anyone who operates a food company or a restaurant or a coffee shop or anything knows, making the food and making the product is a very small part of what makes that business successful. You've got to know how to market it. You've got to know social media. You need someone to design the delivery routes, like all these logistics that need to be handled. I know that's not all you, but you do a lot of that stuff. Like,
it is all her.
It is all her. I stand corrected. I mean, did that kind of, was that just natural for you to take on a lot of that stuff because you had not all experience doing all those things, but a lot of those things?
I did just come natural. I think that based on a lot of my business experience and just exposure to a lot of different departments in the companies that I worked at, you know, of just accounting and marketing and sales and HR and legal, you know, I kind of had experience with a little bit of everything. And so it turned out to be a blessing in that I got to apply that to this business and, you know, do a decent job. And I've learned a lot and come a long ways, but I do feel like a lot of it's come natural.
Oh, you do a great job.
Thank you.
Matt, how did you come into this crazy story? How did you hear about Mealbox and how did you get hooked up with these guys?
Through a friend of my sister and one of Rachel's friends that works at a gym.
Yeah.
And they knew my brother-in-law who was a trainer, and my sister Sarah saw Will had posted something about you know, he fell into this opportunity, so blessed to have it, and it's amazing. And she's like, you should reach out to this guy and see if it's something you'd like. And I was ready to get out of the day-to-day just flipping burgers, making salads and pizzas. I was ready to kind of move on from that and do something a little more elevated, something just that I would feel proud to do every single day. And so I reached out to Will, met him, and...
What was the first thing I made you do?
The first thing?
Yeah. Was it a meatloaf?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
Big, big, big chore.
Yeah, I was like...
Is meatloaf super labor-intensive?
It is, yeah. And the volume we do, you know, he's doing 80 pounds of it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And or more, yeah.
And it's just like, I've never done this, so yeah. Just, yeah. I guess... Guide me a little bit, and I'll figure it out.
Yep. And you survived.
Yeah.
No, Matt is a blessing as well. He's one of those people that just gets it. You know, he understands what you need, and that's his job as a sous chef is to, you know, to have my back, and that's it. You know, and he does a darn good job at it. You know.
Okay. Now we got all that origin story out of the way. Yeah. Let's get back to the food. Because, Matt, you talked about plating, and that was something that I wanted to bring up. You talked about how that's like a blessing. You know, you get to do that now. And I actually had Will and Rachel on the podcast a couple of years ago, April of 2022, and you had this quote on that podcast, Will. You said, "One of my favorite parts is the finishing part, the plating. I love fine dining plating. I love modern plating." Now, most people would not see a plastic microwavable container and think there's going to be beautiful presentation in here. Yeah. It's, you know, more so just about viability. So how do you kind of translate that love of plating into this box?
What's the ratio?
Odds.
Odds.
Odds, not evens.
Yeah, everything's odd. Yeah, that's,
what does that mean?
So... It's all about a look, right? And you resonate with beauty resonates with odd numbers, right? So, say you have a rectangle plastic box.
We're biodegradable now.
Yeah, we're biodegradable now. We have a rectangle biodegradable box, and say we're gonna box something up. You want everything visually to be odd numbers, and so when we box, say a chicken dish, right? There's going to be seven pieces of chicken on there, not six, right? Because if you have six on there, it's going to go 1 2 3 1 2 3, right? So then we go 1 2 3 4 5 6 7, and visually it looks better, right? And so there's like mathematics schematics to how we plate
meatballs.
Yeah, meatballs 3, short ribs 3. Yeah, it's just always got to be odds, but yeah, it's just it's a lot of fun. You know, that's I paint at home. I like art a lot, and I think, you know, obviously we're confined to a box, but you know, for what we can do, we try to make it visually appealing and beautiful, and obviously it doesn't look that way after it's been microwaved, but we want to make sure that the person that receives that meal can see that there's a lot of care and a lot of thought and a lot of passion put into the food visually, you know, as far and the food tastes good as well, you know.
And just as like a basic comparison, like I had a roommate at one point that was ordering the Factor, I believe is the name of the meals. Mm-hmm. They deliver them through the mail, but it's a rectangle as well, but it looks like a Lean Cuisine. Mm. It's just two separate containers with just stuff in it. There's no real presentation to it or anything like that, whereas what we do is, like, there's artistry behind it. It's not just, put it in here, there you go. It's much more presentable, and because, as I say, you eat with your eyes first. So if something just looks like a pile, you're like, eh, it might be the greatest thing you ever ate, but it still doesn't look that appetizing.
Mm-hmm.
But with what we do... We try to make it, you know, to where you look and go, I would eat that immediately.
And there's been times, you know, and it's probably the hardest part of my job, but you know, they've got you know, 100, 180, 200 boxes laid out, ready to box, and they're getting going. And I was doing something else, and I walk up and I go, no, you know, we got to start over. This is not the way it's supposed to be, you know. And that's, you know, it's tough, but we're only as good as our last dish. We're only as good as what we're putting out that week, you know. And we're only going to grow this by making sure that we're doing our best possible. And sometimes it takes another aspect from somebody else to look at, you know, and go, okay, you know. But yeah, we just take a lot of pride in what we do, and what a shame to slop everything in a box after we spent all that time creating something so special, you know. Mm-hmm. What a shame. So,
and if you're a food nerd like I am and you want to take pictures for Instagram, it's fun to like heat it up and then take the elements out and like try and plate them up myself. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. Of course it doesn't look as good as yours, yeah. But I'd try.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Put some effort in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't remember who it was earlier, but somebody mentioned healthier meals. Yeah. And that was something that we talked about in the last pod, Rachel, that you challenged Will. And most Mealbox meals are going to range somewhere between about 450 to, I think, 900 calories is usually about the top. And the fats, proteins, everything is usually pretty balanced. They're usually kind of more in that 600 to 700 calorie range, which mm-hmm. are pretty good healthy for, or pretty good macros for the, like, the portion size that you're getting.
Yeah.
What was it that made you challenge Will to dial back some of the salt, some of the fat, some of the stuff like that? And hey, we can make healthy meals too.
Yeah. Well, I sometimes try to put myself in the position of being a target customer, because I feel like if I didn't know Will, I would be a customer. And so I give my 2 cents sometimes, whether or not he likes it. And so having some healthier alternatives, leaner meals. And so I kept saying leaner, and then we ended up coming up with lean boxes. But the idea behind that was lower carb, protein packed, zero added sugar options, and offering those as well as the normal meal boxes on the menu that are just different, you know, gourmet varieties of different cuisines. So offering more of a balance, again, to appeal to a wider audience. A lot of us these days are more focused on our health and wellness. And so having more of a variety, a diverse selection to choose from, I think would appeal to more people. And so that was kind of how we started the lean boxes, which have been very successful. And so every week having the 5 lean boxes and the 5 meal boxes.
Yeah, it was really hard at first, I think, for all of us, just because our background is starch, veg, protein, you know, sauce. And having to take that starch out and really focus on veg, protein, and how we can kind of mimic the same kind of style of starch, protein, veg, but in a leaner sense, you know. And we tend to go in the realm of savory, acidic, you know, fresh, light, when it comes to the lean boxes, and then more braises and more comfort food when it comes to the meal boxes. So
yeah. Yep. Yeah, on the last podcast, Will, you said, my brain is trained to think salt, fat, acid, salt, fat, acid.
Yeah.
And that is a lot of restaurant cooking, a lot of butter,
yeah.
A lot of, you know, not necessarily trimming off some of the less healthy parts of the meat. For both of you guys, how do you actively, like, how do you take some calories, some fat, some salt, you know, some of the stuff that adversely affects us, how do you take those elements out? What are some examples while still maintaining maximum flavor?
Yeah, I've got a really good example. So last week we did a lean box. It was a jalapeno lime pulled pork, right? And how do you remove a lot of those calories is by taking the pork butt and actually trimming out the muscles away from the fat, so that you have, you know, a pork butt is a bunch of muscle grouping interlaced with a bunch of fat, right? Which we get a lot of sausages from. But if you remove that fat, you get a much leaner product that's just pure muscle, right? And then we can take that and we can sear it and we can braise it. And it's really low in fat. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really low in calories. It's you know, pork is a pretty healthy option if, you know, depending on your lifestyle and the way you eat, right? It's protein packed. It's full of really great vitamins and nutrients, and there's ways around it to where you can achieve certain things. You just have to think outside of the box a little bit, you know. And I think it's a really good example of, you know, what we do and how we can do that.
Yeah, and like, you know, there's simpler things too, like with the lean boxes, using riced cauliflower instead of using rice, and just kind of simpler things like that. That it's
ricing everything.
Yeah, ricing everything or pureeing everything.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, we're up against the clock a little bit, but there's one last question I got to ask you guys, because when I had you on a couple of years ago, I asked you about the future of Mealbox, and none of this was solidified. It was just ideas that you talked about. You talked about like a Mealbox Express, which would be like a grab-and-go concept with maybe a hot and fresh lunch option. You talked about the potential of doing like tasting menus or fine dining experiences. Some of that you've dabbled with a little bit. Some of that hasn't come yet, or maybe it, you know, you went back to the drawing board on it. But today, in 2024, March of 2024, as you look to the future of Mealbox and how it continues to expand, what do you see?
We've done really well with our corporate lunch programs. And, you know, Denise is here, for example, from one of the companies that we deliver to every week. So, it's been very successful for companies that want to invest in the health and wellness of their employees and do lunch programs, whether it's a one-time delivery or reoccurring. Just having that employee perk has been really great. You know, just employee satisfaction increases productivity, employee retention and loyalty. The workplace culture and community, you know, it kind of brings people together in a sense to being able to have a meal with your coworker. So, we're really trying to get into more businesses that want to offer that as a perk for their staff. And so far it's been very successful. So pushing with that.
Yeah. You know, as far as like a restaurant goes, I've sort of veered away from it. You know, back then we didn't have two girls. Now we do. They're the most beautiful, most important things to me. And seeing them every day and spending time with them every day is really important to me. You know, I think as of right now, it's really investing in Matt is really important to me. Making sure that Matt takes the bull by the horns. I know that he can, and I know that he wants to. And really just growing the Mealbox brand. Like Rachel said, more B2Bs, more customers, and just really reaching our full potential as a meal delivery service. And just doing what we're good at, you know? Why venture into something different when we've proven that we're doing well, we're doing good, and there's no point in venturing off into something else, you know? So yeah, I think that's where I'm at nowadays.
What do you think, Matt?
I know we've discussed it too, but like taking on more catering jobs and stuff like that, and just kind of also expanding our business that way. I mean, we do a fair amount of catering already, but you know, there's always more people out there that want to try our delicious food. And then just also, as Will said, you know, just continuing myself personally to grow and just learn more and more every day, and eventually maybe get to the point where this guy doesn't have to come in every single day.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I think I'd go crazy.
Yeah.
Well, to wrap things up here, I still remember the first time that I encountered Mealbox at work. There was one of my coworkers, his name is Peter Bay, and like three or four times a week he would have this meal that was, it looked so much better than anything he could ever cook. Like, this is a guy who can barely make macaroni and cheese for himself. And he had these meals, and I was like, what are you eating? That looks awesome. And that was my introduction to Mealbox, and we've gotten so many great meals from you guys since then. I've gotten to know you guys personally, and I think that you're just great people. I consider you friends. I would vouch for this food to anyone. And I know it sounds wild that you can put a box in a microwave and it comes out tasting like something you'd get at a restaurant. But I promise you, it's real. If you test it, you will be impressed. So thank you, everyone, for coming out again tonight. And thank you guys so much for devoting your time to not only cater this amazing food, but also just come give an hour of your time and tell us your story. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Omaha, as always, thanks for eating with us.
A Huda Media Production.